Hi, this is Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, telling you to stay tuned to WNJC 1360 AM for Thursday in the Doghouse, coming right up.
Mama was a mutt, daddy was one too.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Thursday in the Doghouse, New Jersey's only on-air, online program that discusses and provides educational information about our favorite companion pet, the dog. I'm your host, Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer.
And I'm your host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny.
Karen and I are both professional dog trainers who service areas throughout the state of New Jersey. We work with puppies, adolescents, and adopted rescues. While we both do basic obedience training, we also work with dogs that are anxious and fearful, dogs that are possessive of food, places, and spaces. We also work with dogs that show aggression toward humans as well as other dogs. If you're a first-time listener and you want to catch up on hearing some of our previous shows, please go to our websites where you'll find dozens of our podcasts. My website is www.jerseydogtrainer.com and Karen's website is www.thedogsupernanny.com. We guarantee you're going to learn a lot. Karen and I have talked a lot about canine behavioral issues and what causes them. We've also interviewed veterinarians about health and nutrition. We've talked to shelters and rescue groups who work very hard to help dogs get adopted into their forever homes. Today, our topic is going to be about dogs who suffer from separation anxiety. Our guest, Nanette Morgan, is going to help us understand this emotional disorder. Nanette is the owner of Positive Pals Dog Training and Behavior Consulting in Morgan Hill, California. She's an associate dog behavior consultant through the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, and she's a certified professional dog trainer. She's been in business for over 9 years and works with all breeds of dogs, but specializes in the northern breeds like the Siberian Huskies. We're going to talk to Nanette in just a moment, but please let Karen Fazio tell you what services she offers in the Keyport, New Jersey area and its surrounding towns.
Are you the owner of a fearful or aggressive dog and don't know where to turn? Have you called other trainers and they've turned you down because they don't want to deal with an aggression case? Then My Best Friend Dog Training and its special service, the Dog Super Nanny, is maybe just what you're looking for. We do in-home private consultations. We're located in Keyport, New Jersey, and we do travel. Our phone number is 732-533-9376, and our website is mybestfrienddogschool.com. We are positive-based trainers and don't use physical punishment or fear as a way to motivate your dog. We use games and fun as a way to do that, and we also help you during the whole process. So give us a call. We're here for you. 732-533-9376.
Welcome back to Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm Rini Primeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. I'm here with my co-host, Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny, and we're about to talk to a wonderful trainer who's located in California. Her name is Nanette Morgan, and our topic for today is dealing with the dog that has separation anxiety. Hi, Nanette. Thanks so much for coming back to the Doghouse.
Oh, hi, Rini and Karen. It's nice to be back.
Yeah. So I think the first thing that we need to do for our listeners is to actually define what separation anxiety is.
Okay. In its simplest terms, the dog is unable to relax or deal with being alone. Separation anxiety is actually an umbrella term that covers a spectrum of anxiety or panic behaviors. At its simplest form, it's typically called isolation distress. And what that means is the dog is okay as long as he or she is around other dogs and or people. So it doesn't matter as long as it's a warm body that, you know, if he likes being around dogs or people, that'll take care of things. The next step up the ladder would be termed moderate separation distress. And at that level, the dog is doing things like pacing, whining, some barking, maybe mild chewing, some excessive greeting, some shadowing of the owners. And it's typically pinned to one or two particular people in his or her life.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the far range, the severe range, it's called separation anxiety. And when you get to that stage, the behaviors I recently mentioned get worse. And then other things that can happen are that the dog tries to escape. He might do self-injurious behaviors, which means, you know, mutilating himself, a lot of salivation and drooling, severe destruction, a lot of water consumption. You often see diarrhea, vomiting, maybe severe depression. Aggression can even show up. And then sometimes some, what we call in human terms, OCD behaviors, like spinning or, you know, repetitive behaviors that have no function.
Mm, okay. Karen, do you have any questions you want to ask Nanette?
Yeah, that is a really good question because a lot of people ask it. What's the prognosis for dogs that suffer from you know, severe separation anxiety, like the one that you just described?
This is going to sound like a cop-out, but it depends. If it's good, if it's caught early, and if the owner is compliant. The other thing that's really important, too, is that if it is severe, if that's what you're talking about, it's so important that the owner bring the dog into their veterinarian.
Right.
I can't stress that strongly enough. Mm-hmm. You really need to work with the vet, first off, to rule out any underlying medical cause, because sometimes, you know, the separation anxiety behaviors can really be, you know, an outward form of something else going on. So that's very important. And the other thing, too, is, like, if it is that severe, it really behooves, if the vet, you know, is on board with it, getting a dog on some kind of medication, like Reconcile or Clomicalm,
mm-hmm.
because until the dog is relaxed enough, any of the training you're going to do, like the departure cues down the road, which we'll talk about in a little while, aren't going to really take hold. And that also is where things start falling apart, too, because the human isn't seeing any progress. And, you know, today's world, everything is instant, right? Instant
mm-hmm.
messaging, instant this, instant that. And for something like this, if it's really severe, you're in it for the long haul. It could take months to a year to really get it under control.
Yeah. One of the challenges that I find, out of many challenges, is if a person, let's say, lives in an apartment, or a townhome, and all the neighbors are nearby, and one of the symptoms of her dog, who has separation distress, is barking for hours.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, so that she wants a quick fix. She doesn't want to work on this for a year. How do you handle cases like this, especially if, let's say, the vet, isn't really that well, not, I don't want to say educated, but let's say experienced using psychotropic drugs. What would you suggest to somebody like that? And maybe the dog isn't just barking either. Maybe it's trying to escape from its crate and hurting himself and doing all these other things. What is your
advice? And then just to address something you just mentioned, oftentimes crating the dog makes things worse in separation cases.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes there's a barrier of frustration that goes along with this.
Mm-hmm.
So some dogs are okay being crated with this if it's maybe a mild form and that, but the crating can sometimes actually make the separation distress worse. So in a case like you're saying, it would really behoove the person to get the dog to stay with maybe another person, if mm-hmm. that's feasible, or a doggy daycare, because it's going to take a while for, you know, especially if they are using drugs, for it to ramp up.
Okay. So how long would that take? How long, once they're put on medication, in your experience, how long does it take before the dog actually starts to feel a little calmer?
Well, it depends on the drug. Reconcile, which is Prozac, takes a little less longer. I've seen effects take place maybe in a week or
Doesn't Reconcile have Clomacom in it also? I thought it was like half and half.
No, not to my knowledge. Clomacom is clomipramine,
right.
And it's solely that drug. And Clomacom takes, until it's really fully ramped up, 3 to 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But a side thing here about the meds that I have seen in many times is that the drug for the dog often has a placebo effect on the owners.
Yes.
Which is really a good thing because...
Yeah.
They, you know, sometimes though I've had cases after 3 days on Clomacom, and you know it's not really taken effect yet. I mean, the dog might be a little drowsy or something, but it's not really taken effect yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, oh, we're seeing, you know, so they get this buy-in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just recently I attended a webinar by our IABC colleague, Ken McCourt, on mm-hmm. intentional stance in dogs. And in the discussion section, he mentioned that he has found that the departure cues protocols typically are hard to implement with the owners and the dog.
Absolutely.
The dog is keen into something else other than the departure cues with
right.
with the humans, maybe pheromones that the humans are giving off and
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. And I can really see how that could happen. So, you know, even before maybe the people get up, they're releasing some, you know, pheromone and the dog knows, uh-oh, they're
mm-hmm.
leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Nanette, are there certain breeds that are more prone to developing separation anxiety than others?
I think so. I will say right now that it affects both sexes of dogs. It's not just males or females. But, yeah, I noticed, like, herding breeds, because they've been developed to work for one person, or dogs that are noise sensitive, like the guarding dogs, can we say German Shepherd, tend to... high in the population.
How about beagles?
Small reactive dogs too.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing too is that noise phobia is often a primary or secondary issue to separation anxiety.
Yeah.
So you might have a dog that starts out with noise phobia and then develops separation anxiety or vice versa.
Hmm. Yeah, I think I remember Dr. Nicholas Dodman. He was on our show several times, and I think he made a correlation between dogs that have noise phobia
mm-hmm.
have more of a propensity toward developing separation anxiety too.
Well, I would think that any animal that has any kind of anxiety issue, it could start to spill out into other areas of their life.
Right.
I mean, you know, a nervous person is a nervous person.
Right. Sure.
That's pretty
true. Easy to start getting more hang-ups as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, if a dog is like kind of clingy already, like when you adopt
mm-hmm.
them, that's something to really watch out for, because that's the type of dog that, you know, like you say, has a propensity to get into something, developing something like this.
Right. What about dogs that are adopted from a shelter, dogs that are in rescue? Do you feel that these dogs are more commonly afflicted and suffer from this?
Yes, and I think there's been some studies about this too, because any kind of stress and trauma can be a triggering event for these disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And there have also been some studies, I don't know the names, but I've heard them over and over again. I think even Dr. Nicholas Dodman in the seminars I've attended have mentioned it, that there seems to indicate that single women who adopt a single dog often have a dog that develops this.
Really? Why?
Mm-hmm. Why?
Why a single woman? Well, maybe because she's the only one in the house and, you know,
yeah.
her
and
schedule is probably, you know, she's out a lot maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we should just go the gamut. I find that women more than men are, you know, more coddlers.
That's true.
You know, especially in small breeds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a real problem with that as far as the small breeds versus the large breeds and
mm-hmm.
how some women, most women handle the smaller ones. But that aside, you know, and it's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's just that, you know, women have more of a nurturing, you know, that we have that nurturing gene.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't think it's anything intentional, but, you know, we have a tendency to really kind of baby an animal or even children, you know, more so than a man would, or even a couple, because then you have, like, that balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I wanted to ask you, Nanette, what type of behavior modification protocols do you practice with your own clients with dogs that suffer from separation anxiety?
Well, first off, I go through a series of things to before we even get to the what I call the Columbo protocol, you know, the coming and going. You remember Peter Falk as Columbo
mm-hmm.
coming back in? So I call it the Columbo protocol. First off, I do a complete assessment of the dog, the owner, the environment, which includes mental and physical needs being met or not,
mm-hmm.
food, temperament, personality of dog owners. So I take a really ethological view. You know, I go into the home and really, you know, put my detective hat on.
Mm-hmm.
Then second, I'll start with some things like mental stimulation and short alone time
mm-hmm.
exercises for the people to do while they are home, all right? Like sitting in a room for 10 minutes twice a day and just either having the dog on a tether, on a mat, and just not paying attention to them, and they're reading a book or working on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And go through, you know, a series of that. Marin Humane Society on their website has a good handout called Short RX for Separation Anxiety. So I often use that with people to start with, just to get them going. Along with other things, like I'll suggest, we'll try DAP, dog appeasing pheromone,
right.
or, you know, spray or whatever.
Right.
Music, different kinds of music, either through a dog's ear or other stuff. Massage, T-touch. And I also, suggest that they, you know, make an appointment with their vet, if they haven't been for a while especially, to rule out any underlying medical cause.
Have you ever used the Thunder Shirt for this?
I recommend it sometimes, but, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, just like any of the other modalities I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
It can help.
Right.
So can a tight-fitting T-shirt.
Right.
And that, we're going to take a brief break, but when we get back, I want to ask you a couple of more questions. But are you okay with taking a break, Renee?
Sure.
Let's take a break so that Renee Premanza can tell you some of the services that she offers in the South Jersey area.
1360 AM.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee Premanza, your friendly neighborhood dog trainer. I've been training dogs professionally in South Jersey for close to 12 years. I assisted my own dog's trainer in her obedience classes for 2 years while studying the laws of learning and behavior modification at an online college. I then became certified as a behavior consultant in 2004 by the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants. So whether you need a trainer to help you teach your dog his basic obedience behaviors, or you need help because your dog has developed serious behavior problems, I'd be very happy to come and visit with you at your home and assist you in resolving these issues. So give me a call at 609-280-9338 or contact me through my website at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. My number is 609-280-9338, or go to my website and email me directly there, jerseydogtrainer.com.
WNJC.
Thursday in the Doghouse. This is Karen Fazio, the Dog Super Nanny, and I'm here with Renee Premanza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. And we're speaking with Nanette Morgan, who's a certified dog trainer and behavior consultant, and she is discussing separation anxiety. And right before the break, we were talking about, you know, protocols for helping this disorder. But, you know, I did want you to continue with that, Nanette. But to explain what departure cues are, because that is part of the, you know, part of the protocol is reducing or changing some of those departure cues.
Okay. First off, about the departure cues, a lot of people think we're going to start with this right away when
mm-hmm.
we meet. We don't. The things I mentioned before at the break, we work on that maybe for a few weeks mm-hmm. before we even get to departure cues. So during that time, if it's a severe case, this is where they need to have, they can't leave the dog alone. And I mean, obviously people have to go to work and such, and not everybody can work from home, unfortunately. So this is where, dog sitters or doggy daycare or friends that, you know, will let you leave your dog with them. And, you know, even if it's a dog that's focused only on one person, you know, so it's not isolation stress, it is separation, even that can at least help, because then there's someone at least watching the dog, okay?
Right.
So we work on that for these other things for a while before we even get to the departure cues. And the departure cues are simply, we nail down, you know, I find out what the people typical routine is in the morning, and we break it down, or night, or whatever triggers it, into small little steps. So it might, for the some dogs, the trigger might be that the people, let's just take a woman for an example, it's putting on makeup is the thing. Mm-hmm. So, and the dog is like usually, you know, Velcroed to her side in the bathroom while she's trying to put on makeup. So we start doing things like having her go in the bathroom and put on makeup several times a day, you know, so it becomes like monotonous, and it's not keyed to 7 o'clock in the morning. The other typical ones that everyone's read about is, you know, you pick up your keys and, you know, the dog thinks you're going to leave, but you pick up the keys and you go sit on the sofa and have a cup of coffee, or you put on your coat and you go sit and have a cup of coffee. So it's all the different cues that, you know, set the dog off. Then as they progress through, you know, several days or weeks, whatever it takes of this, where the dog's comfortable with that, then you start going where you maybe go to the door, you touch the knob, and you come back and sit down. You do that 10 times, several times a day. And then, you know, it progresses to finally you open the door, you step out for a second, you come back in, and so forth. So it's very tedious, and this is the part where, you know, a lot of times people say, this is enough, I can't deal with it anymore.
Right.
You know,
and that's where the medication really helps too. The other thing too is teaching the dog confidence those previous weeks before you even get to this.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to make sure that's, I mentioned earlier about exercise and mental enrichment. That's the time to get the dog used to doing things on its own, like, mm-hmm. you know, sitting and having a nice tasty Kong and, or whatever floats its boat, you know, and getting used to that, so the dog isn't so dependent on, oh, if I'm my owner's not here, I can't breathe.
Right, right. You know what I've seen over several years is that sometimes you know the dog is upset when the owner leaves in the morning, but then you can get the dog to feel better about that departure. So here's a scenario where the dog is doing really good during the morning departure. He's gotten used to it and everything's fine. Owner comes home, feeds the dog, and then maybe leaves again, maybe to go out food shopping or go have dinner. And then the dog's behavior worsens because here, you know, he doesn't expect that now. So the separation thing, that can really cause a whole new time period of separation anxiety.
Right, which you have to work through that one then too.
Exactly. Exactly. So you have to, you know, there's so much involved in this, and that's, to me, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't want to medicate my dog. I don't want my dog to be a zombie. Well, your dog is not going to be a zombie. All it takes is maybe a week or so to get used to the medication, and the dosage can also be adjusted up, adjusted down. But when you have a dog that's that anxious, that dog needs help. The dog has to be helped to feel calmer, to have, like you said, more self-confidence, if this is going to work at all. The other thing that I would make a recommendation of, because it's fascinating and it's educational, is to set up some way of taping the dog when you're out. See exactly what your dog is doing. How is your dog spending its time? If you've given your dog a Kong or a Kong wobbler to keep it busy, you may come home without taping your dog. And let's say your dog hears you come in or hears you pull up in the car and quickly goes and gets his Kong because now he feels better. He knows you're about to come in through the door and he sits there and he looks at you. He's all happy and he's got the Kong right there. But if you tape the dog, you'd be surprised about the anxiety that the dog is exhibiting throughout the day, where you might have thought, gee, he's fine, I don't have to worry about this.
Right. I recommend that too, the taping, if they're at all possible. If they don't have, I mean, there's a lot of things on the market now, even computers, smartphones that you can do. Mm-hmm. If they don't have the taping, at least maybe set up a tape recorder.
Right.
And, in fact, if anyone takes Whole Dog Journal in the September issue, there's a fantastic article on this by, Sandy Thompson.
Okay.
A fellow trainer out here in California, who she describes living through this with her dog. And, as Renee knows, I've lived through this twice with one of my current.
Yeah. Well, no wonder you're an expert.
But it's heartbreaking, and it's like, and it's, I am single, and it's hard. I mean, you know, until I found some, and I have a husky, so it's, I have the escape artist, right, the mother of all breeds here. So
yeah.
To even try to find someone that I trusted to, like, take care of the dog so mm-hmm. I could go somewhere. I mean, it took years to finally find someone, believe it or not. But it's really hard. And so, you know, anything you can do. And the other thing about... Sometimes you try different things and they may not work. Like sometimes, you know, we may suggest that the owner have someone come in midday and walk the dog or whatever. And mm-hmm. this is kind of going on the coattail of what Renee just said. Sometimes that's worse because then the dog may have just finally gotten settled to, you know, be kind of okay.
Mm-hmm.
And someone comes in and then that person leaves.
Right.
I've also seen where, you know, people have successfully for a while use a trainer coming in and to help with while the person does the protocol, you know, they sit with the dog and the person leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sitter is sitting with the dog and, you know, like these are 5-minute sessions, right? Well, I've also seen where the dog then develops a separation anxiety to the sitter as well.
Really? Oh, my.
Hey,
yeah,
no. Nanette, could you give out the website and,
yes.
and then maybe we could talk about how to prevent...
Well,
yeah.
we have 3 minutes, girls.
Yeah. Huh?
This short show. We only have 3 minutes, so.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know. We're going to have to do another show like this, Nanette, because
yeah.
this is a big subject for a big problem.
This website and this handout, by the way, I also give out to people who have a new puppy.
Yep.
And so we can start. This is the prevention part of it. It's www.marinhumanesociety, all one word.
M-A-R-I-N?
Huh?
Is that how you spell it? M-A-R-I-N?
I-N, Humane Society.
Okay.
.org.
Okay.
And the tip sheet, you go up to, I think the tab is behavior and training or something, then you pull down and it'll say handouts.
Okay.
And they're, it's called Separation Anxiety -Short RX.
Wow. That's
and it really is short. It's half a page.
All right. Oh. That's good. Okay, you know, we can do a whole nother show. I think we have, actually I have to look at our schedule, Karen, but I think we have an opening in December, where maybe Nanette can come back and she can discuss the prevention, aspect of
sure.
this.
I did want to point out in the minute or two we have left that, you know, you get to a point where the dog is doing okay and then something can trigger that it comes back. That's, I'm living through that right now with my dog. I mean, it's okay now, but he's on Clomicalm. But, you know, almost 2 years almost to the day and month.
Really?
It came back. And in my opinion, he developed more barrier frustration, even though he was in a big room with my other dog. And this is where, looking from the dog's point of view, I figured out it was he was starting to get kind of barrier frustration or cabin fever, so I simply left the door open from that patio room into the house so that he could leave that room and his playmate when he wanted to and go to his crate. And that, with the meds, helped. And I think what also triggered this was he's 14 now. His deafness got worse. You know, he started losing his hearing
okay.
over the last year
All right.
and a half,
yeah.
maybe. And so anytime the dog's medical situation changes or another thing happens in a person's life, a death or moving or a job schedule change, this can come back.
Okay. That's a really good explanation for that, too. Hey, listen, I can't thank you enough for coming back. And we are definitely interested in having a part two of dealing with separation anxiety. And we're going to set that up as soon as we possibly can. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Nanette, so much for returning to the doghouse. And
thanks for having me.
No problem. And hey, guys, thanks for listening to Thursday in the Doghouse on WNJC 1360 AM. And Karen will be back next week. And Karen, who's your guest next week? Is it Purr and Pooch?
I think it's
Purr and Pooch.
Yeah, I think it's the Red Cross.
Okay, that'll be good.
Pet first aid.
Oh, great. All right.
But also, one more thing. If anyone wants to contact me, because I do these long distance as well. They don't have to be in California.
Mm-hmm.
My business phone number is area code 408-806-2021.
Thank you, Nanette. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great week.
You too.
Bye-bye.
I'm glad you're home, but where you've been? Since 2 o'clock, I've been holding it in. Grab the leash, let's go chop chop. If I don't get out soon.